all stand together tonight. And everybody help me sing, if you will. Oh, hallelujah, praise the Lamb. Hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the Lamb. My heart sings this song again. Oh, hallelujah, praise the Lamb. Oh, hallelujah, praise the Lamb. Oh, my heart sings this song. Hallelujah, praise the Lamb. Amen. That's why we're here tonight, is to praise the Lamb. Aren't you thankful to be in the house of the Lord on Wednesday night? I thank the Lord that He's made a way for us to be here. Feel sorry for those that are not. They'll miss out on a blessing tonight. We have several prayer requests tonight. We want to remember our pastor. He's got a little bit of laryngitis and having a hard time tonight, so let's remember him. The Lord will just touch him. We have a request for Sister Audrey tonight, needing prayer. Let's remember her. Brother Jeffrey's wife is with us tonight, but she's going to see a doctor on Friday and Saturday, I believe, for some x-rays, so let's just remember her, that the Lord will be with her. We want to continue to remember Brother Daniel. Gets in there in our prayer. Sister Vicki Tidwell, we have a request for Haven Ball tonight. We pray that the Lord will just touch her. Sister Deanna's sister, Kayla Cash, and her son was in a car accident this afternoon, and I think they're on the way to the hospital, so let's just remember them, that the Lord will just be mindful of them tonight and just touch them. Also, a friend of Sister Kaylee's, Tina Young, her son, I believe, it had surgery for reconstructive surgery for the esophagus, and I don't think it's going very well, so let's just remember that request, that the Lord will move tonight for that. We want to remember Brother Ben in prayer tonight, that he's in the Congo, as far as we know, that God will just be with him and just bless in the services there. Also, from Brother Jonathan, Sister Carol, please pray for a friend of ours named Trevor. He's only about 20 years old, and he has cancer. He had surgery yesterday that lasted about 14 hours, and today he's just not doing well at all. So he's having trouble breathing, so let's remember that request. And Kelly and I were in a house this week working with somebody, and they just recently lost their husband. And my heart went out to her and Kelly. Then I think he had a gallbladder surgery, and something went wrong, and he passed. So let's just remember that family in prayer tonight as well. And I'm sure there's many other needs. If you just make that known by an uplifted hand, God sees what we have need of in the service tonight. Brother George, you would come tonight and lead us in prayer.
Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Father, we thank you this evening, Lord, for this privilege to be here. And Lord, to hear all of these requests, Lord. And Lord, to see how long a list, Lord, and not only the ones that were spoken, Lord, but the unspoken requests. We all have needs, Lord. But Lord, it just proves that we don't belong here, Lord. We belong in another place, Father, a place where there won't be no sorrow, there won't be no struggle, Lord. But Lord, while we're here, Father, while we're here in this life, Lord, we'll have sorrows, we'll have troubles. Lord, and these bodies will get sick. But Father, we're so grateful, Lord, that we have a prayer answering God tonight. And we're so thankful that we have the ability to come to you tonight, Lord, and to lift these requests up to you, Father, and believe with all that's in us, Lord, that you're moving upon the scene for them, Father. And Lord, we just lift them up, the spoken and the unspoken, believing, Father, that you're touching each and every request that was made known. Lord, the unspoken in our hearts, Lord, each and every one, Father, we believe it, Lord, that you're answering, you're moving on the scene for them, Father. Bless our pastor tonight, Lord, how the enemy would attack his voice, Lord, to try to hinder him from preaching the gospel. But Lord, we know, Lord, that there's nothing to you, Father. And Lord, we just pray you'd minister to him just now, we ask. And Lord, we ask that this service tonight, Lord, be anointed with your blessings, Father. We pray for the song service. We pray for Brother Mark, Lord, and the musicians. We ask you tonight, Lord, you'd speak through Brother Jonathan tonight, Lord. We pray that the Word of God would come forward, Lord, and Lord, that it would fall on good ground tonight, Lord. That it would bring forth fruit, Lord, 100-fold. And we'll give you the praise and the honor. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I mean, you're going to have faith tonight. All these requests are going to be answered. We're going to hear testimonies of what God has done. Amen. Let's sing this. I think it's in the key of A. As I kneel in the darkness, in the middle of the night, I'm praying for assurance. Everything is gonna be alright. Lord, I see another battle that's out in front of me. I'm afraid I won't be able, and I'll go down in defeat. But he said, I spoke to the wind, it hushed and I gave you peace. And didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you just so you. Just to die for your sin. I searched until I found you, and I'd do it all again. And he said, do you remember where I brought you from? Just take a look behind you at how far you've come. Oh, and every time you ask me, didn't I deliver you? So why would you be thinking that I would see you through? And he said, I walked on the water and I calmed the raging sea. I spoke to the wind, it hushed and it gave me peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you just so you wouldn't fall. And didn't I leave all of heaven just to die? I searched until I found you, and I'd do it all again. And he said, I walked on the water, and I calmed the raging sea. I spoke to the wind, it hushed and it gave you peace. And didn't I run? to be reminded sometime that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, amen, today, and forever. Just because the prophet is gone doesn't mean God is gone. And he is still answering prayer based upon our faith. If we just have faith in him tonight. Amen. Our God is tremendous. Let's sing that. Oh, when I'm in need, I call on the Lord, and he hears me. Yes, he helps me. He is faithful and true, and he won't forget his own. He won't forget his own. My companion, he's my best friend, the only true God. There's no one greater. Wonderful Savior, Jesus, the Lion of Judah. Oh, our God is tremendous. His strength never faileth. He goes through the fire just to save a sinner. Yes, he is almighty. He sends his angels to guide me. Powerful, our God cannot handle. Our God in simplicity revealed in you and me, came down from his glory and gave us the victory, the greatest love story. Now when I'm in trouble, Jehovah Nissi, the great enforcer, God Almighty, will fight your battles. Oh yes, and he will stand for you. Oh, he will stand for you, and your victory will come. Not the way you think it should, but my great Jehovah, he just loves a paradox. Just in your position and watch the miraculous. It'll come into action. Oh, our God is tremendous. His strength never faileth. He goes through the fire just to save a sinner. Yes, he is almighty. He sends his angels to guide me. Oh, there's no storm too powerful. Our God cannot handle. Our God in simplicity revealed in you and me, came down from his glory and gave us the victory, the greatest love story. Came down from his glory, he gave us the victory, the greatest love story. Amen. Heaven can testify our God is tremendous. His strength never faileth. We're just so thankful. And aren't you thankful that you're free as well tonight? Let's sing this again. So long I searched for life's meaning. Then the door of my prison was opened by love, for the ransom was paid, I was free. Help me sing tonight. Oh, I am free from for a glorious song. from the guilt that I carry, from the dull, empty life I'm set free. Aren't you thankful for when I met God, the foolish child I used to be? Oh, you ought to be able to sing this with me. Oh, I am free from the fear of tomorrow. I am free from the guilt of sung this song in a long, long time, and I just ran across it today. I said, ooh, I need to sing that one. Amen. Kids sing. Oh, I love that man in the middle, because I know he first loved me. Oh, and praise to that man who died on Mount Calvary. The middleman made it possible that I could go free. Sing with me. Oh, I love that man in the middle, because I know he first loved me. And praise to that man who died on Mount Calvary. The middleman made it possible that I could go free. Oh, don't you love that man in the middle? Amen. We'll let you have your seats tonight. We'll have our ushers to come and receive the evening offering. You just give unto the Lord. I know he'll bless you for that. Let's sing this chorus. He promised us that he would be a counselor, the mighty God and the Prince of Peace. Oh, he promised us that he would be a father, and he would love us with a love that would not cease. Well, I have tried him, and I found that all his promises, they are true. He's everything he said he would be. And the finest words I know could not begin to tell just how much Jesus really means to me. And he's more wonderful than my mind, than my mind can conceive. He's more wonderful than my heart can believe. And he goes beyond that way. And he's more wonderful than my mind can conceive. He's more wonderful than my heart can believe. And he goes beyond that my soul ever longed for. He's everything that he promised, but he's so much more. He's more than amazing, more than marvelous, more than that's what Jesus is to me. Oh, how many can say, praise the Lord, he's more wonderful than my mind can conceive. Amen. Sister Wanda, she's going to sing for us tonight. know tears are a language that God understands. Amen. That's what's wrong with the church today is too many dried confessions. That's what it is. But we just want to get serious before the Lord. And just when we have needs, God is mindful of those needs. And he will answer them if we just be sincere in our prayers and have faith and trust in his word, because it never fails. It's always true. Let's stand together as we invite Brother Jonathan to minister to us tonight what the Lord has laid on his heart. Amen. Did you bring your barrels and turn them upright so the Lord can fill them for you tonight? Amen. Let's sing this.
Oh, you are my refuge. You're my sanctuary. When I feel afraid, you're my hiding place. You are my refuge. And when the storm
something about a refuge. When you get under them wings, you begin to gain strength. You begin to gain strength because he knows there's another battle in front of you. He knows what you're walking into, and he's wanting to bring you in, and he's wanting to build your faith, and he's wanting to encourage your spirits, and he's wanting to raise you up so that you can fight the battle that's in your day. Amen. Appreciate Brother Mark. Appreciate the musicians. Appreciate being here for Shirley with her Pastor and Brother Ben as he's in the Congo preaching, and I just believe God is on the scene. Yes, sir. And I believe he's in every situation that we're in. And you know, I got in the car and I told my wife, if I've ever been unprepared, I'm unprepared tonight. It's been a week. It's been a day. But you know what? I depend on him, not me. I can get up and I can go through things, and Lord, I have fought the last three nights trying to find the direction to go. But you know what? I believe God knows what our needs are. Amen. I believe he knows what he's going to speak before I even know what I'm going to speak. So if you get your scripture, let's turn to 1 Corinthians. Very maybe unique scripture for the text that we're going to take, but I want to try to build off something that's been on my heart lately. And you know, we're living in a day that it seems like everybody wants to fight. Everybody wants to pick sides, but I want to pick sides with Christ. Amen. I want to pick sides with Christ. 1965, marriage and divorce. Brother Brown makes this comment leading into a comment he was going to dwell on. He said, and it's just like that. There's two great schools of doctrine in the church. One of them is Calvinism, and one of them is Arminianism. One of them is legalists, and the other is grace. We've come to find out that people who believe in grace, the Calvinists, they say, bless God, it don't hurt us to smoke, it don't hurt us to drink. I can do all of these things, I've got eternal security. He said, then we find on the other side the legalist. And he says, oh, I would have to bawl him out, but I would like to show him a piece of my mind, but I'm a Christian, I have to keep still. Brother Branham said, see, you find yourself on two different roads, and neither one of them is right. Now, that's hard to say, but it's the truth. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll see if we can take a text tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 54. Says, so when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, and then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Amen. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. Amen. And be thanks, but thanks be to God, which giveth the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. John chapter 14, we find Jesus speaking here. John chapter 14, reading verse 1, reading down. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. As if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And whether I am there, you may also be. He said, and whether I go to you or the way you know, he said, and Thomas said unto them, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, amen, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to me unto the Father but by me. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, tonight, Lord, you see the outcome before we start. Lord, you see the thought that you placed upon my mind, Lord, and Lord, I have no way. Lord, I'm just so feeble in myself, in my mind. But God, we know that you have the power and the strength to, Lord, be the speaker and the hearer alike, Lord, that you could speak something to us tonight, Lord. Lord, we ask you to take these scriptures, Lord, and we ask you to take the quotes that we might use, and Lord, use them to be a blessing and a strength to us, Lord. Let us know, Lord, the day that we're living in is truly a battlefield, Lord. Lord, we're standing on the edge of time, Lord, and knowing, Lord, that the day that we're living in would be this separated, but yet there's a bride that is standing on your word, Lord. Lord, we ask you to be with us, Lord. Remove my thoughts, Lord. Speak to us tonight, we pray. In your lovely name we pray. Amen and amen. And you can be seated. And I thought tonight, Lord, there's so many thoughts on my mind. And I begin to think, you know, as we have conversations, that we're living in a day that Brother Brennan would say the greatest battle ever fought is in our mind. And we're in a battle today. Every one of us, every day of our lives, we're under so much turmoil and so much battle that it's almost unbearable for this flesh to take it. It seems like every way we turn, and I feel like you're the same way, because we're all flesh trying to be Christians. We're trying to be Christ-like. We're trying to live a life worthy of the gospel. We're trying to get to a place that we're coming to a promised raptured land. But in the middle of that, we're mired up on this earth, and we're in these flesh bodies. And as we're fighting every day, there's so many times it feels like the obvious thing to do would just give up your hands and just quit and walk away. But yet, as God is calling us to be soldiers in his army, he's calling us to a day now that he's asking us to be soldiers. Why? Because he knew there would be both sides out there. He knew that there would be both enemy, and there would be enemy on both sides of us. And he knew that the fight would be stronger today than it's ever been. But yet he also knew that he had a bride living in this day. And in this bride that he had living in his day, she is capable of overcoming all of the side. She is capable of coming through every fight on the victorious side. And we begin to look around and look, I've said it so many times, but you know what? All we have to do is look at our own lives and see the victories in our own lives. We're in a battle. We're fighting. We're struggling. We don't know the end from the beginning, but my God knows the end from the beginning, and He sees the situation we're in, and He knows that the extremes are out there. He knows that this one's against this one, and this one's against this one, but He's looking down at a bride and saying, but there's my bride. She's not putting her mind towards all of the ideals. She's not getting so intellect that she can't be convinced by the Holy Spirit of another way. She's not getting so wrapped up in enthusiasm that she forgets the Holy Spirit is the one that leads the way. And we begin to look at each side, and we begin to think, look, it has never been more manifested than in the day that we're living in. It's never been to a case that you can go to two message churches and get two completely different opinions. Why? Because they've left the Word of God, and they're going into extreme, and they're going into this way, and they're going into this way. But yet there's a bride that is staying true to the Word. And I want to take this evening with us, if I could, and there's no way I can finish where I want to get to, but I want to try to lay a foundation and begin a work of what God speaks of balance, what God speaks of the balance of the Word of God and staying true to that Word. And you know, very, very common to us, but I want to read it. I want to take some time. I try to slow down, but George, I can't slow down. But you know what? Here we are, and I see, and I've read this, and being someone that likes to shoot it, it resembles, and I understand it, but in the first seal, 1963, Brother Branham would say, Brother Vail, Brother Lee Vail, he says, I think he's here. He was talking the other day about people getting off track. And you know what? If we could talk about tonight about people getting off track, and we've got everything out there to get them to an altar, but do we have what is needed to get them to a rapture? It's one thing to get them to an altar. It's another thing to clean their lives up, prepare them for battle, so when they walk into the world, they can be a soldier for God. He says, oh, I was talking the other day about people who's getting off track. He said, oh, it's just like shooting a target. He said, if that gun's perfectly balanced, perfectly trained and sighted, it's got to hit the target. And we have a perfect word for our day. We have a perfect gun for our day. We have a perfect message for our day. We have everything that we need to stay on target with the Word of God. We have every message that has ever been preached that God knew that we would have need of to laying before us that we can hear the prophet say, little bride, get back in line. Why? Because He wants us in line with the Word of God. And He begins to say, He goes on and He says, it's just like shooting a target. If it's perfectly balanced, if it's perfectly trained and sighted, it's got to hit the target. He said, unless the barrel moves, a twist, a vibration throws it off, a wind puff, he says, whatever it starts off at, he said, there's only one way to do it. You've got to come back to where it left the track. And we're living in a day that we got all of these extremes in the message. We got all of these pickers that wants to take their doctrine and run it and make a church out of it and make a revelation out of it. But you know what? They left the Word somewhere. There's somewhere they got off track. They got off track with the Word, and they began to get into a place, as Brother Branham would tell us, the Gentile age, we come in under man worship, it'll go out under man worship, and now we're living at that end time. And we're living here this end time, and we see it fulfilling all around us. But what happened? They got off track. They left the Word of God, and now they're so far out there, you know, they don't even resemble the message that we call the message. Look, people didn't, you know, we look at the message, we go, how in the world does a message believer dress like that? It didn't happen overnight. They got off the Word way back here, and it began an angle away till it missed the target completely. But then we look on the other side and we go, how did they get so intellectual that they don't even let the Holy Spirit move in the church anymore? Because they got offline and they went way over here and left the message of the earth. But the bride of Christ is laying there with the Holy Spirit saying, show me in your power and demonstration, lead me in the church. Don't worry about my ideals. See, that's the biggest problem with preachers today. They're too worried about their ideals. Look, I've got ideals too. I've got opinions too. But I come to find out when my ideal or my opinion doesn't line up with God, I lay my ideal down. I lay my opinion down. Each one of us in here has got opinions on different things. Opinions don't mean much to God. God looks at his word and says, let me move for you. Amen. So I told Tiffany, Brother James, Saturday, I was going to preach a message and title it, Get the Holy Ghost. Because you know what? It fixes all your problems. That'll fix all your problems. Why? Because in the battle that you're fighting today, when the devil tries to take you astray, if you've got the Holy Ghost will bring you back in line with the Word and get you straight back on target. But we're living in this day that the world is falling apart, but churches are falling apart. You know, I hear preachers preach all the time, well, it's them dirty old Baptists. No, it's them dirty old message believers that have taken the Word of God and they twisted it and turned it until they make themselves a religion inside the message of the hour. But yet, Brother Branham is saying, get back to the original Word. Line back up with what he said. And what he said, he says, you know what? He says, it had to get off somewhere. And he said, the only way to fix it is to go back to where it got off and get back in line. And see, that's what we have to do as children of God, filled with the Holy Spirit. When we walk down through our life and we go through situations in our life, when we find ourselves off of the Word of God, we've got to go back to where we left the Word of God. We've got to search our own soul. We've got to search our own mind. We've got to lay before God and say, God, I'm in a battle. God, I'm fighting. I may be losing, but God, point me back to where I left you. And let me line back up. He said, what is he? Come back. He said, oh, come back to where he left the track. Start again. It's going to hit the target. If it's going to hit the target, he said, if it doesn't, why? It just doesn't hit the target. He said, that's the way studying scripture is. See, I believe. He said, we find out, we start something over here and don't come out of sight. And you see, it isn't. Yeah, we've made a mistake somewhere. So where did they go wrong in these movements? They made a mistake somewhere. What he said, you know why? That's why they said Jesus would say that a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh a sign. Why? Because they're looking for something to entertain them. They're looking for something that they could fall in love with and run around. There's no problem with running around and shouting. I do it myself. But you know what? Let it be Holy Ghost fed in your life. Let it be Holy Ghost that comes up inside of you and takes control of this body and makes it do things you normally wouldn't do. Don't let it be some act. Don't let it be just because you got under the anointing of whatever it was. Look, man, they go to a rock and roll concert and you ain't never seen them dance. Look, the church people ain't got nothing on rock and roll people. They dance all over that mosh pit. You know what? They don't care. They don't care what anybody thinks of them. So my question is, if they don't care what anybody thinks of them, why should I care of what anybody thinks of me? I used to tell the young people, we went to Dollywood a couple years ago. We'd get on the Eagle and I'd scream out Jesus' name at the top of my lungs. I didn't care. I'd start worshiping in the middle of the song or in the middle of the ride. I'd start praising God. I'd start witnessing to people. I didn't care. And I'd tell them, I said, you know what? If the world don't care what we look to them, why should I care of what they think of me? Because this is who I am. I am a son of God. I am a born to be in the bride of Christ. I am going in a rapture one day. This flesh body cannot contain who I am. So I'm going to go ahead and let the world know this ain't me. Because we're in a battle. But you know what? It's so easy to let things creep into our lives. It's so easy to let little thoughts and little ideals creep in. And we feel ourselves drawing away. You know, I've been around for a little while. I'm not too old, but I've been around for a little while. And you know what? I've heard pastors tell me, look, it ain't no secret when somebody starts from the front row, winds up in the back row, they're about to quit church. Why? Because they're wanting to get further away from the anointing. Why? Because they got off the line somewhere. They took something in. They took some man's opinion. They took their own opinion, and they believe in the Word of God, and they're in a battle. So what should we do? We should back them up. We should get behind him and say, but the Lord said, but the Word of God says, we need to praise him in the morning. We need to praise him in the evening. We need to sing the songs of Zion. We need to worship him and let him know what he is to me. He's so wonderful to me. He's so mighty to me. The battles I've overcome is because of him, not because of me. I'm not a great I. He's the great I am. I'm just the vessel that he's in. But he's looking. And he's wanting us to stay in line with the Word. Proverbs 11:1, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. So a false balance, and I go to the dictionary and encyclopedia and come up with things, and it says sometimes called false, refers despairingly to the practice of journalism who in their zeal to be fair would present each side of the debate equally credible. But, oh God, what day are we living in? Nobody wants to just take a stand. Nobody wants to just tell them what they really believe. They want, well, if I'm in this crowd, I'll tell them this. Right. And if I'm in this crowd, I'll tell them this. Right. And it's a false balance in the eyes of God. God wants children of God that can stand up in the world, stand up in the church, stand up in their families and say, this is what I believe. And the reason I believe it is because he's living inside of me. And if you don't like it, I mean, I'm not even sorry. Amen. Because this is who I am. But in their zeal, oh God, help us if it ain't done the same thing in the message. What happened, Brother Brennan said, is pulpit delinquency. We get men of God in the pulpit that don't want to preach it straight no more. They don't want to preach it. Look, I'm not talking about this church. I'm talking about the world. Well, we get people in the pulpit that don't want to tell the truth anymore. They want to try to balance it out with a little leaven and make it easier for you to eat, so easier for you to understand. Why? Because the scripture says in the end days, they'll come looking for preachers and teachers with itching ears, wanting to hear what they have to say. Look, let's just be honest. I've got friends all across this country, and I have them all the time talk to me. One of them tells me, you know what? I don't even believe in evangelism anymore. Well, how can you do away with evangelism? It's in the scripture where they're too charismatic. Well, you know what? Jesus liked charisma a little bit. He got excited sometimes. He jumped up and down sometimes. He even took a bullwhip and beat them out of the temple one time. He liked a little fire in his step sometimes. That's what God laid out. Why? Because he knew what we would have need of to overcome the battle that we're in today. He knew that it would take teachers to bring the word of God and break it down so that we could see the light bulb go off of revelation and understand what he's saying. He knew that we would need evangelists. He knew that we would need pastors. He knew that we would need prophets and apostles. Why? Because that's what's bringing us into a perfect unity. That's what's bringing us to his word. Is that the prescription that God laid out? If he laid it out, I don't want to get away from it. But we're living in a day of a false balance. Where we just come to this church and we call ourselves message believers, but we're never going to let anybody get excited. We don't want you to say amen. We don't want you to say anything. We just want you to sit there and nod your head in agreement. Where's the Spirit of God? But you know what? We got message churches that's all they do is run and shout and they never listen to the word. What, it's one way or the other. It's a battle that we're in. And we as the bride sitting here tonight that is trying to focus upon the truth, that is trying to focus upon the balance of God, it's a struggle for us because we have friends and families in both ranks. And they're pulling us here. And they're pulling us here. And they're trying to credify. It's okay because Brother Brennan said it this way. But this is okay because Brother Brennan said it this way. But yet we're holding to the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit inside of us said, but there's a balance in this. There's a true balance in this. Proverbs 16:11 says a just weight and balance of the Lord's. And all the weights of the bags is his work. You mean the pastors of his work? Yeah. You mean the evangelists of his? Yep. You mean the prophet? Yep. You mean, yep. You mean the deacon? Yep. You mean the song leader? Yep. You mean everything that God's placed in every one of your lives is in his hands. You mean the prayer warrior? Yeah, the prayer warrior that no one knows about is what keeps the church going. Because she lays down before God and she cries out to God, God help my church. God help my pastor. God help the people in this church. Help us. And God is moving on the behalf of her. Amen. And she's never recognized. Right. Come on. Because we're living in a day that we want some glamorous, nice hairdo, perfect suit, and act like they're better than everybody. Right. But the word of God says does us good sometimes act like fools. Come on. What did he say? By the foolishness of preaching. Come on. He's looking for somebody that's willing to take every word of God. Because we're living in, and you know what? This bride, that's us. We're going to take every word of God. We're going to take everything that he says and put it in our armor and put it in our gear and say, devil, here I come again. I'm coming after you again, but I got more firepower than I had the last time. I got more weapons than I had the last time. I got more faith than I had last time. Devil, you better beware, because I don't know your tricks. You done tried them all on me. But we're being pulled one way or the other. All the time we're being pulled. We're being pulled in a way. We're going to move on a little bit. But it said that, you know, Brother Branham in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, 1958. He makes a comment. He says, now, this is the prophet speaking. You believe he's your prophet.
Amen.
He said, now, there's been one thing since I've been in this rest period for these weeks. I found out that's been a trouble with me. He said, I want to confess it now to my church. I sat back behind those oak and hickory trees down here studying. Where did I make my first mistake? Where did me go wrong? He said, what was it? He says, you know what I found out? What makes me wrong is there's such a thing as being overboard with something. Amen. He said, did you know that? He says, oh, he says, you could try to be all right. You can try to be good, and then you can be too good. Come on, church. We've seen them all around us. I mean, don't look like you can lay a finger on their life. But you don't never see them on Monday night, Tuesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night. Because it ain't really a life. They're putting something on and they're trying to be that good. Brother Brennan says, don't ever become so spiritual that you're of earthly no good. You get around some people and it almost makes you sick. Because they don't want to talk about the word. They just want to talk about how spiritual they are. How many things God showed me. How many times God showed me this. You better be careful, because you're going down a beaten path that's taking you somewhere that you don't want to go. What is he saying? He said, there's such a thing as being too good. You could try to be all right. You could try to be good, and you can be too good. And I've just let people push me around. Right. Look, children, we're in a fight. We're in a battle today. We're living in a day that the battle's greater than it's ever been. I think too many times, and I think a couple of the brothers has made this comment, but I agree so much. I think too many times the bride of Christ doesn't really understand what humble is. Humble isn't cowered down in the corner and never fight back. Humble isn't just drop your head and let everything happen to you. No, you know what? There was humble in Joshua when he said, son, stand still. But there was authority in that voice too, because he realized who he was. And if the bride of Christ will realize who she is, she'll understand true humility. It's waiting on God to move, and you moving as God is moving. You speaking as God, and then he'll honor every word you say. It's not sitting around, I'll just take it. No, it ain't. I'm so sick and tired of taking it. I'm so sick and tired. Look, maybe this is what come from. If it is, God forgive me. But I'm so sick and tired of taking it from both sides. I'm so sick and tired of walking into this group and hearing how we all should run up and down the aisle every time, and how we all should jump up and down and shout glory every time, and then going to this group and saying how we shouldn't even say amen in church. I'm so sick and tired of taking it. I think we need to follow the leadership of the Holy Ghost. I think if the Holy Ghost tells you to say amen, you'd better say amen. I think if the Holy Ghost tells you to raise your hand, you'd better raise your hand. I think if the Holy Ghost tells you to run around the walls, you'd better run around the walls, because he's asking you to do it, not because some man's asking you. Amen. Living in the day, he said, oh, I've just let people push me around. I think the bride's let people push you around too much. Come on, church. We're in a battle. We're in a fight. We've let the world push us around too much. We've let, you know what, this ain't no rally cry of politics, you know, trying to make you all excited. No, what this is get you to recognize you've got the man upstairs living inside of you that is controlling every movement in your life. You don't have to put up with the world. You don't have to put up with the foolishness of the world. What can you do? You can say, I'm the child of God. I'm the king of the earth. This is my place. And stand for what is yours. And stand for your right. Look in Deuteronomy. The law of Deuteronomy concerning these things. Chapter 25, verse 13. It says, shall thou not know in thy bag devourers weights, great and a small. He said, oh, they shall not have in that house devourers measures, great and a small. But said, thou shalt have a perfect and just weight, a perfect and just measure that thou shalt have, and they might be lifted in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. You said that's theomony, but you know what? It comes to a spiritual sense in our day. See, we know the natural types of spiritual, but we don't ever really think about what it's saying in the spiritual realm. Because we're living in a day that we've got the perfect weight of this word. We've got the perfect prophet for our day. We've got the perfect word for our day. We've got the perfect message that is preparing us to get into a rapture. We need to dig into it more than we've ever dug into it. We need to listen to it more than we've ever listened to it. We need to find that and say, God, that's more important to me than anything else in the world. That's more important to me. He said, for all that do such things and all that do unrighteousness, or an abomination unto the Lord thy God. Remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way that you come forth out of Egypt. What did Amalek do? He said, oh, how he met thee by the way and smote the hindermost of thee, even all that was feeble and behind you, and there wasn't faint and weary, but he feared not God. He said, oh, therefore it shall be that when the Lord thy God hath given thee rest from thine enemies round about in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it, thou shalt blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under the heaven, that thou shalt not forget it. Amen. What is it? It is this natural type of how the enemy, our enemy, attacks us all the time. He attacks you from the hindsight. He attacks you with people that you love. He attacks you from every way. He tries to get you. You know, as Brother George spoke at the end, when you get out by yourself, guess what he's going to do? He's going to attack you. He's going to try to bring you down. If you understand, when you're in a battle, it's time to stick together. It's time for a bride to come together and say, we're in this together. When my brother or sister trips, I'm going to be there to catch them. Because I'm going to be so close to them that I'm going to feel them fall. And I'm going to reach out and grab them and bring them back up. Because there's probably going to be a time that I'm going to trip. And I need a brother or sister to grab me by the hand and bring me back into focus. Why? We're in a battle today. We're in a battle because we got them pulling from every side. What is it? He met thee by the way and he smote the hind parts of thee, even all that was feeble behind thee. Look. That's why it says, raise up your children as they should go, that they shall not depart from it. Look, I know people get upset at me sometimes when I tell them, but I don't care if it's my kids, your kids, pastor kids, or anybody's kids. If they ain't got the Holy Ghost, the devil's got them. Amen. I don't care who they are. Amen. And we look and say, oh, not my little Johnny. Yeah, your little Johnny. If they ain't got the Holy Ghost, the devil's got them. That's why we got to circle them around in our home. We got to bring them down to prayer meetings. We got to put the token above our house and say, they're my inheritance. They're my kids. I claim them to be yours, Lord. I'll stand for them in the end until they can get their experience themselves. We let our kids run off and do everything else that the world does and wonder why they're influenced that way. Come on. Come on. We're living in a time that we allow our emotions to let our kids go into the world. The biggest thing I tell people, they say, well, we just don't want to be hard on them. Well, look, the devil's going to be hard on them. If you're not hard on them, somebody's going to be hard on them. And I would rather me be hard on them than the world be hard on them. It's time to raise them up in the way they should go. Teach them the truth of the word. Get them off of these false balances around the message and say, but what does God say for my household? Too many people bases their beliefs on what other people does. Come on. You won't find somebody. Look, here I go again. Y'all going to hate me over a Christmas tree. Y'all just going to hate it. Come on. I don't care if you have a Christmas tree. I really don't. But you know what? When you have a Christmas tree and you come to me and says, well, Brother Branham had one. Well, get your own Holy Ghost. If the Holy Ghost told Brother Branham he could have one, that's fine. I don't have a problem with it. But let the Holy Ghost tell you what you can have. Not what somebody else has. Know what some other church has. Know what other somebody in the church. You get the Holy Ghost. You get along with God. And you allow God to lead you in what you should do. Because that's the problem with these false balances in the message. Not in the Baptist. Not in the Catholic. Not in the world. In the message. That's the problem with the false balances in the message. It's people go, well, you know what? Brother Greg, get away with driving a Chevy. I'm going to drive a Chevy. And then you start driving it for the wrong reason, yours breaks down. Come on. Then you get a Ford like me and it breaks down. Come on. I ain't preaching one way or the other on what you should drive. But you know what? Natural types of spiritual. Well, then they go, well, you know what? If he can get away with sitting on the third row from the back, I can too. No. God wants you to be an individual before God. He wants you to get your own experience before God. He don't want you to lean to other man's understanding, lean to other man's traditions, lean to other man's opinion. He wants you to get a baptism of the Holy Ghost. He wants you to be prepared for this fight. He wants you to stand when it's time to stand. He wants you, as Brother Branham would say, I've got it jotted in the front of my Bible. He says, I want to be so close to God that at the very, when he nods, I'm already in motion. He don't even have to speak to me no more, brother and sister. That's where I want to be. I want to be so close to him, so close to his word. Whenever it's morning between 6 and 9, he don't even have to call my name because I realize it's time to go home because there's something in me that resembles what he is saying. There's something in me. Oh, look a little deeper with Emily in Exodus 17. If we go back to Exodus. Look at it from a natural standpoint in the Old Testament to the day that we're living in a spiritual standpoint. He said, in all the congregation, let's just start at verse 1. We'll make our way down. I'll watch the time. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed in the wilderness of sin. Come on, church. We're in the wilderness of sin. Come on, this we should be able to take this word of God. As the scriptures say, everything is written as examples to us. We should be able to read into every scripture and say, I can see that in my life. I can see me going through this in my life in 2022. He said, they journeyed through the wilderness of sin. Look, we've got a promised land coming. I like preaching on the promised land. I like hearing people preach on the promised land. It's the truth. And we need to hear it because we need to keep our eyes focused upon that promised land. But right now, we're journeying in a wilderness of sin. And the people of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of sin after their journeys according to the commandments of the Lord. And they pitched in Redim. And there was no water for the people to drink. You ever notice how people never changes? Come on, church. It's just pure honesty. I know some people don't like honesty, but people don't ever change. They ain't got no water and they get a little dry throat. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses. You mean the prophet that led them out of bondage? You mean the prophet that gave everything in the world up? The prophet that was raised by the Pharaoh's daughter? That all he had to do was keep his mouth shut and he could have been a Pharaoh. He gave everything up for the people. He gave everything that he had, all of his wealth, all of his knowledge. He gave it up for the people. He began to look like a fool when he walked down there with a stick in his hand and says, I'm going to take my people back. And people go, is that idiot? Come on. What were they doing this day? Come on, let's just be honest. We're looking at it through a different set of eyes now. And they begin to chide with Moses and said, give us the water that we may drink. Moses said to them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do you tempt the Lord? The people thirsteth for water. And the people murmured against Moses. God, there's so many people murmuring against the message. Right. Come on, church. There's so many people murmuring against the prophet that he's off the scene now. There's so many people murmuring against the words that he said. There's so many people, well, you're just going to bring us out here and die. Well, that's about what the children of Israel was doing, wasn't it? They begin to complain that the very one that come to save them wasn't doing enough for him. Don't that sound familiar? We're going to turn and leave the message because we just don't believe it's all true anymore. What do you mean? The one that brought you rapturing faith. The one that brought you the mysteries of the scripture. The one that brought you the anointed word for your day that opened your eyes that you could see there was more to this than a Baptist theology, more to this than a Methodist theology. Now you're going to turn around because your throat got a little dry. Come on, church. It's the day we're living in. And it's being manifested again. It says, and people thirsted for water and they murmured against Moses. And they said, whereof this that there have brought us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst. You say, oh, it's different. No, it ain't no different. They're living in 2022. The prophet's been off the scene for 50 years, 60 years. And they go, well, his message didn't get us there. We're just going to die out here in this wilderness. We ain't in a rapture yet. He didn't know what he was talking. Come on, church. That's what they're saying, the same thing today as they said back then, looking at their prophet, looking at the promised land, looking at a rapture message and complaining they're not happy because they're a little thirsty. No wonder when they leave the message, they start drinking. Come on. Because there ain't nothing to hold them to the truth anymore. He's what is he said? And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? He said, oh, but they almost ready to stone me. Could you imagine? You say, oh, they wouldn't do that to the prophet. Look, if the prophet was alive today, there would be people trying to kill him. There would be people trying to hire assassins to take him out. Why? Because he stood for truth. What is it? And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people and take with thee the elders of Israel and thy rod, and wherever thou smotest the river, take in thy hand and go. And behold, I will stand before thee unto the rock of Horeb. And he said, there shall smite the rock, and there shall come water out of that rock, and the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord amongst us or not? Come on, they almost say the exact same wordage today. They stand in message churches and condemn, or not condemn, but they stand in message churches and come against men of God that are standing on the Word of God. What do? They don't come against the Word because they know they ain't got a chance. But they come against the man's character. They come against him and start telling all these stories on him to try to destroy his life, to try to destroy his character. Why? Because they know he's preaching truth. But Brother Brennan's comment that I always smuggle at and kind of smile, he says, the best apple on the tree is the one that's got the most scars all around it. Why? Because it makes them jealous that they don't have the same Holy Ghost experience that these men of God that we have has in their life, that's able to stand on the Word, that's able to speak the truth, no matter what the internet says, no matter what YouTube says, no matter what all the naysayers says. Moses didn't care. He was more concerned about what they was doing to God. Come on. Our prophet didn't care what people said about him. He just didn't want them to talk about Christ. Because Christ is the one. He's the one that's lifted on high. He said, oh, he called him. He goes down. Let's just move on down. He said, then came Amalek. There he comes again, that old sneaking devil. And he fought with Israel and with them. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek tomorrow, and I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. What, we're in a battle. We're in a battle today. Now, we know the scripture says it's not a fleshly warfare. It's a spiritual warfare today. Look, I'll be honest with you. I've said it 100 times. I'll say it 100 more times. I wish sometimes it was a fleshly warfare. I like my chances against most people. But it's a spiritual warfare. But it's the same technique of the enemy. It's the same Amalek in our lives. What is he doing? He's coming in and he's trying to change our view of how church should be. Look, anytime you come to church and you have a thought that you could be a better song leader, you better get the devil out of you. Because you can't be. We got the best. When you come into church and you start thinking, well, I could be a better deacon than Brother Pat, you better get the devil out of your mind. God ordained men in this church to perform the duties that they're performing. If God wants you, he'll ordain you. And he don't need you to ordain yourself. Come on, church. That was free. I don't know what that was. Moses said unto Joshua, choose out men. Go and fight with Amalek tomorrow. And I will stand at the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said unto him and fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up on top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held out his hand that Israel prevailed. But when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. See, you know what? That's why Brother Brennan said, you see that old oak tree, go sit under it. Learn from him. Look, you get born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, that don't make you the greatest warrior there is. You know what? You go find a brother and sister that's been battling this. I'm not talking about being coming to message churches. I'm talking about that's been in the battle. They've got scars to prove it. You know what? They gave their life to God early in their life. They never was called to be a preacher. They never was called to be a songwriter. They never was called to be any of this. But you know what? They've been through battles upon battles upon battles in their life, and they keep pressing forward with God. They keep standing for the truth. You go find one of them and sit under them for a while. You go listen to them. No wonder he wants the elder sisters to train the younger sisters. Why? Because they've been there and fought that battle.
Amen.
Looking for a place. He said, oh. He said, you know what? He said, but Moses' hand was heavy. And they took a stone and they put it under him and he set it thereof. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands. And one on one side and one on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discovered Amalek. And his people was on the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in the book. What is a memorial? It's something for me and you to look back upon. Look, sometimes we miss the most simplest meanings. I know it's simple tonight, but let's look at it. We miss the most simplest of words. He did that on purpose to show us there's a way to overcome your enemies. It's to help one another hold their hands up. It's to stand alongside your brother. It's to stand alongside your sister and say, we can fight this battle.
Amen.
Lord said unto Moses, write this for memorial in the book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. But Moses built an altar, and Moses built an altar, called the name Jehovah Nissi. And he said, because the Lord had sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. It's the same devil. We change his name. We change his appearance. We change what he says. We change. But you know what? It's the same devil fighting us today that fought us in the days of Moses. What was Amalek? Amalek was a dweller of the valley. The grandson of Esau who was born after the flesh. Come on, church. What is it? Israel's persistent enemy through their whole life is a type of the flesh of the believer today. This is our Amalek. This is what we're battling every day of our lives. Look, you can't tell me. I know when you hear from your family and you hear from your friends, it twinges our hearts. It makes us feel sorry for them. But there's something inside of us that brings us back and says, but this is the way. But Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. I'm not following a man. I'm following God himself. I'm not following some opinion or some ideal. I'm following the word for my day. No wonder they could stand there with Moses and they could hold his hands up. Why? Because they believed that he was the prophet of their day. No wonder in our day we need men of God that will hold our prophets' hands up and say there was and there is a voice in the day of this day that we're living in that brought a message to this bride. And it's willing to stand out when the critics are throwing stones, when the critics are saying, well, don't use his name anymore. Well, it's come too late because I'm going to use his name because he brought me the light. He showed me where I was going. He gave me the promise. Moses gave the children of Israel their promise. Look, it was God and Moses. I'm not making Moses the great one. It was God. I'm not making Brother Branham the great one. It was God in the prophet. But it was Moses, the prophet, that brought the message of deliverance to the people of Israel. It was Moses, the prophet, willing to live everything he had so he could show the children of Israel where their promised land was. Look, it's so simple, ain't it? Because even though Moses could never go into that promised land, you know what? He still knew what that promised land was. He still preached what that promised land was. He still told the people, you have a promise from God of a land flowing with milk and honey. It's your inheritance.
Amen.
And I don't believe he wavered to the day that he drew his last breath. And I don't believe our prophet wavered until the day he drew his last breath that there's a rapture coming for this day. There's a rapture coming from this day. He said, although I may die, there's still a rapture coming. Although I may not go into the rapture by escaping death, there's a rapture coming for a bride. That bride is expecting to hear from her theophany. She is expecting to hear from the word made flesh in her and say, that's what my messenger was saying. That's what my prophet was saying. Look, we know they all died off in generation in the desert. But you know what? They was raised by their generation. I'm sure, as we do, and we should, that they went around as they was wandering around in the wilderness, and they began to quote Moses to their children. They began to quote the messages that Moses had brought. They begin to quote unto them that they said how this river would be there and how that there would be a crossing of that river and how there would be many great battles in that land. But yet it was going to overtake them all because they was the chosen ones. I'm sure when some of them young ones, when they crossed into that promised land, they could hear the tapes playing in their head. Come on. They could hear the voice in their head. They could say, you know what? This is what Mama was talking about. But you know what? Mama said we was going to win. Mama said we was going to overcome. Daddy told us there would be giants and there would be grapes that was too big to carry. But he said we was going to win. Amen. Look, children of God, the prophet has told us there's going to be fights. There's going to be battles. There's going to be extremes on both sides of this message. Not just religion, but of this message. But he also said there's going to be a bride. Amen. And that bride is going to overcome. Amen. The Uncertain Sound, 1960. Brother Brennan says, and I began to notice, look at this, he says, and in the beginning came in other places, churches. Charles Fuller, he said, how many heard of the old-fashioned revival era? Look, let's go back a little bit. He said, oh, great man, he says, not long ago, he says, we have the speaking in tongues interpretation right here in Long Beach. And that's true. He said, I preached right there with them many a time, and there was the interpretation, and they make everybody sit quiet. See, that's the thing of it is, they don't reverence those gifts. And then sometimes if the gift gets out of order, you have to call it down. Come on. You know, there was times that Brother Branham weaked in ignorance and let it happen. But after they come to the knowledge of what was right and good, he called it out. I think Brother George said it, Brother Ben said it, Brother Joseph said it, I'll say it too. If you think we're hard preachers, you ain't listening to tapes. Because we're real gracious. Compared to what my prophet says, we're real gracious. Because when he seen sin in the church, he just called it. Look, I'll be honest with you. I mean, I grew up in this message. You know what? We've lost the reverence for the gift of God. There was a time in my life that when I wasn't living right, I'd come out the front door of the church and I'd meet the pastor coming that way and I'd turn and go the other way. Because I felt like with him under that anointing, he was going to cause sin right out of my life. But now we've lost the reverence for God in the message churches of this day. And we walk up right up to the pastor with pot on our breath. Come on, church. Where are we living? We've lost the reverence of God. We've lost the fear of God. And we wonder why God can't move for us. That was free too. I wasn't in the notes. He said, oh, what was it? He says, oh, don't reverence those gifts. He said, and sometimes if a gift gets out of order, you've got to call it down. He said, oh, it's Satan trying to push them overboard. He says, if he can't keep you from the truth, he'll take that same truth and push you overboard. He said, see, that's right. He'll make fanaticism out of it. See, that's what he's did in our day. No wonder the great extremes, and there's so much more we could get into. I'm running out of time. But we're laying right here, and we're seeing both sides of it with their extreme, and they're fanatics about their extremisms. Yeah. Look, man, you get people, look, you know, I ain't throwing off on nobody. Anybody that's got breath has got a chance to come to truth. Right. But you know what? You got people that just goes out there. All you can do is push play, push play, push play, push play. They're happy to tell you that that's the truth. They'll dig quotes out and they'll dig scriptures out and they'll tell you what Brother Joseph said and they'll tell you, this is, I believe this, don't you believe this? On the other side, you got them the same way. They're about ready to come to fisticuffs. I tell you what, you ain't nothing but a lying devil. I tell you what, if that's all you do, you ain't never going to make it to heaven. And the bride is getting the brunt. Boom. Come on, church. Every one of us is. Every one of us has got friends and families in churches that do it both ways. And when we go home, that's all we hear. Well, why can't you do this? Because I believe that there's more light on the word than there used to be, so it just don't matter if you do this anymore. And then you go over here and they become so legalistic, we all should just die. Come on, church. I ain't never understood a legalistic. He can't even make it to heaven. Why would I believe something that I couldn't even make it to heaven? But yet we're in a battle. and we're being tugged to and fro. But the ride is living in this last day, and she's realizing who she is. It's time for a bride to stand up. It's time, you know what? If they ain't ashamed of playing their tapes, I ain't ashamed of going to church. They come up to me and tell me that's all they do at 2 o'clock on Sundays, play the same tape around the world. I'm going to tell them on 2 o'clock on Sunday, I'm usually dancing in the aisle because the Holy Ghost is poured out in my church. Come on. I ain't afraid to tell them that God is in a move in a bride. God is fighting in a bride. He's fighting through that buff against all the fanatics of this world. Come on. He's living in a day. Brother Brennan says that Luther, one of the greatest things Luther did was kept his head above the fanaticism of his age. You know what one of the greatest things the bride is doing today? She's keeping her head above all the fanaticism of this age. Not of the denominations, not of the world, but of the very message that she believes in. Pastor, 90-something year old, told me a few years ago, he said, look, if I didn't know this message was the truth, he said, I wouldn't touch it with a 100-foot pole. Because there's so much fanaticism in this message. There's so much extremisms in this message. There's so much pulling to one side or the other. But see, if you're the bride, you just can't help yourself. You could try to stay away all you want to. You could try to go to every activity there is in the world except to church. But there's something inside of you that just keeps drawing you back. There's something inside of you that you just want a little more. Why? Because there's a God living inside of you that is answering to that word, saying, I am that bride. That above the fanaticism of my age, above all the foolishness of my age, above all the deception of my age, above all the radicalism of my age, I'm going to stand. And I'm going to stand true for the word of God. Brother Mark, come. It's Wednesday night. If I go any further, I have to go a lot further. You love him tonight. Look, children of God, stand with us. We're in a battle tonight. Don't ever try to act like that you're not in a battle. Don't ever let the devil tell you when you get home at night that nobody else is fighting the way you're fighting. Look, everybody in this church, everybody that's streaming online is fighting the battles that we're fighting. They're fighting the battles of fanaticism around this message. Look, it hurts. I've got family that's turned against this message that I love to this day with everything in me. But you know what? It ain't going to stop me from believing what God placed in my heart. Amen. And you know what? It might just take that for them to open their eyes and come right back into the fold. Amen. I'm not going to be critical. I'm going to love them. Look, I got a quote down there and we didn't get to it. Brother Brennan says, before you ever have faith, you got to have love. Yeah. Children of God, win a battle. It's time to fight. Brother Mark, sing something if you got something. You love him tonight. Amen. Appreciate him.
Oh, I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength. To
In this dying age, Lord, I'll live for you. Amen. Sunday morning, 9:45 Children's Church, 10 Sunday School, 10:30 the prophet will be speaking. If you ain't heard him all week, it's your fault. But you can hear him at 10:30 because he'll be playing right here. And he did say come 30 minutes early. So it'd be good to hear from him.